Well, God bless you guys. Good morning. You look fantastic. Thank you for being here this morning. We are finishing up our message series called Less of Me, and hopefully you've been here for all three parts of that. Dan Houck, good friend of mine, did the message last week and did a fantastic job. Make sure you listen to that. A lot of you guys have been telling me how much you enjoy having him, and so we're going to get Dan on our regular guest rotation. But this is an important series, and I'm going to tell you why it's important. Because you and I are selfish people by nature. Not the way God created us, mind you. We're selfish because that's the effect of sin. Sin desires self-fulfillment. So whatever it is that your flesh craves, it requires a selfish ambition to do that. We live in a selfish world, and so you hear a message that indulges your selfishness all the time. You hear motivational speakers, you hear doctors, you hear talk show hosts, you hear medical experts, you hear all kinds of people who are going to continue. You see memes on Facebook, you see posters, anything that you can kind of visualize here in jest, it's going to be telling you that you should look out for you. Look out for number one. Make sure that you're preserving your rights. If you get onto Facebook right now, there seems to be a challenge. There's kind of a gauntlet that's been thrown down that says, listen, all these people are getting their voices heard. I need to do the next thing to step it up a level so that my voice gets heard. Feels like these people are stepping all over our rights, and it feels like these people are suppressing my voice, and so we work even harder to make sure that we're being heard. We live in a world that indulges selfishness. So the concept and the idea of selfless living is one that's sort of foreign to us. However, it happens to be one that Jesus advocated through his entire ministry. In the midst of getting all of this attention, being known by literally tens of thousands of people, having the influence, having the ability to overthrow governments, Jesus lived selflessly. And those who follow Jesus aspire to live selflessly. Because when we live selflessly, we enable God to have fullness in our lives. When we back flesh away, that's the driving motivator of selfishness. When we eliminate that in our lives, we provide space for the Holy Spirit to come in and the fullness of God's presence to be in our lives. And here's what actually happens when that happens. You become who you were created to be. You become who God created you to be when Christ has fullness in your life. John the Baptist said it like this. When all of his disciples were saying, this Jesus character is now taking all of your disciples. He's baptizing everyone that you were baptizing. People that were listening to him are now listening to you. What are you going to do about it? In today's society, people would say, you got to fight for that. You got to take him back. You got to compete for that. You got to criticize that guy. You got to make sure people know what a fraud he is. You got to do all of this to win back those followers. Instead, John the Baptist, being a man after God's heart, said this. I told you, I wasn't the Messiah. I'm not the one you should have been following in the first place. So Jesus is the one you should be following. He says, as a matter of fact, I must become lesser and lesser so that he can become greater and greater. In your life, the key to living at your highest and best, to living out your fullest potential, to becoming who God created you to be, is to become less and less of you, so that Christ can have his place in your life and you can truly become more and more of who you were created to be. So we're going to talk about something today that I don't think most people acknowledge in their life to be a problem, and that's laziness. Most of you in here would go, listen, I kind of feel like most of your messages sort of hit me somewhere, feel like they're all appropriate in some way. I'm going to tell you, I'm disqualifying myself from this one. I'm going to ride the bench. I'm sure there's some lazy people in here you need to talk to. I'll be supporting you, giving you a few amens, but I don't fall into the lazy category, because if you knew how busy my week was, if you knew how hard I worked, you'd know I'm not a lazy person. And you're probably right in that respect. So we're going to do something. We're going to talk about how to eliminate selfishness in your life by fighting back against laziness. And so the first thing we're going to do is write this into your notes. I fight my selfishness by remembering that laziness actually means I'm not putting my gifts to work. So probably one of the greatest disablers, one of the greatest barriers to you and I fighting an enemy is misidentifying the enemy. Have you ever gotten mad at someone, kind of yelled at them, only to find out they weren't the one responsible for what you were mad about? And then you feel really stupid, and you're like, okay, I'm so sorry. They're like, I had nothing to do with that. You see, the problem was you were fighting the wrong enemy. So you used all this energy and venom and vitriol towards the wrong person, and you misidentified your actual enemy. And here's a big problem. When we identify laziness, and this is the way we identify it in our lives, as simply sitting around doing nothing. When you think of a lazy person, you think of somebody who's just not doing anything. Well, we need to redefine that as followers of Christ. Here's the definition as followers of Christ of what laziness is. It is being given unique, God-chosen, God-selected, God-given abilities and talents, and then not using them. Now that we've redefined what laziness is, does it expand the audience a little bit? Do you believe that you're living in the fullness of the gifts and abilities that God has given you? And if not, you fall into the category of being contaminated by the selfishness of laziness. See, the Bible admonishes us in 1 Peter 4:10. It says, use whatever gift you've received for the good of one another, so that you can show yourselves to be good stewards of God's grace in all of its varieties. You know what that said? It says you've been given abilities and gifts for the sole and singular purpose of serving other people. And you should be using those. If you are not using those, you are not stewarding or managing your gifts well. You're just being lazy. You're not managing the gifts that God has given you, and that is the definition of spiritual laziness. Squandering our spiritual gifts is such a big deal that Jesus actually tells this big, long story. We call them parables today, but Jesus loved to tell stories. As a matter of fact, Jesus never spoke to the crowd, can someone turn the air conditioning on? I'm going to lose about 7 pounds. Not that that's a bad thing. I just think it's the wrong way to do it today, okay? Whoops. All right. So Jesus would tell these long stories. The Bible says he never spoke to the crowds without telling stories, and he did it because there were big spiritual truths that sometimes were hard to swallow, and so Jesus would put them in these very interesting, easy-to-follow-along stories. So Jesus tells a story about a master, and we don't use that term today, but think of it as a very wealthy man, an executive, and he's got some employees. He's got some people that work for him and answer to him. And Jesus says that this master gives to his one employee 5 bags of silver. He gives to another 3 bags of silver, and he gives to yet another 1 bag of silver. So let's say $5,000, $3,000, and $1,000. He comes back from his long trip, and he asks for his employees to report back to him, and the one who had $5,000 says, hey, boss, very cool thing happened. I took your money. I invested it in some mutual funds that were very successive. I did some aggressive accounts, and I actually made $7,500, so I more than doubled your money. He says, man, that is amazing. That's awesome. And he says the same thing to the man with $3,000. What happened to my money? And he says, good news, boss. I don't know that I was that successful, but I did double your money and made some good. I invested in some real estate, flipped it, sold the property, and here's your money back, and it's been doubled. And he goes to the man with $1,000, and here's what happens. Matthew 25, verses 24 through 27. Thank you, Dwight. Then the servant with 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hit it in the earth. I dug a hole. I didn't even put it in a bank. That's how smart I was, because you know how fishy banks are with the whole recession and banks are failing and people losing their money. So I buried it in my backyard. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is all of your money back, $1,000. You gave me $1,000. I didn't lose a penny. But the master replied, you wicked and what? Lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Here is what Jesus says. He says, this is how God will respond to you. Read the whole parable and then read what happens after that. He shows that God's anger is turned against those who are given something. Something. You don't get to decide whether it's something big enough to invest or not. Because maybe this guy had an attitude problem that this schlub got 5,000, this moron got 3,000, and I only got 1,000. You don't care for me, therefore I won't care for you. I'm digging a hole, I'm putting it in there, I'm doing nothing with it. When you get back, I'm going to hand you your money back and go, I didn't lose anything, congratulations. And the master says, you knew what I wanted from you. You knew why I was giving it to you. I wasn't just giving it to you so you could bury it. I gave it to you so that you could use it. I would have rather you have risked it and lost it than just bury it. Clearly, you didn't understand why I gave it to you. Look into your life and ask yourself this question. Do you believe that God has given you something? Something to serve someone else? Some gift? Some ability? Some talent? More importantly, some calling? God has called you, given you a gift, and then called you to use that gift to serve others. Laziness is knowing you have that gift in your life and squandering it and not using it. Number two is this, I fight my selfishness by remembering that laziness is usually disguised as busyness. Most defensive and natural reaction you can give is when I say, you're lazy, is you go, oh no, I'm not. If you knew the kind of week I had, you'd know I wasn't lazy. I want you to hear me out, because I contend you are. I contend you're as lazy as I am. Here's why. How many of you guys are parents? Okay, keep your hand up if you're a parent of a teenager or a child old enough to do chores. Okay, most of you in here then. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to use... How about we use Maya? We're going to use Maya right here. Drew has two teenage girls, and they both have chores and responsibilities. I know that to be true. So let's say, and I'm going to make these up, let's say Maya's responsibility, how old are you, Maya? You're 15, 14? Okay, 14. So Maya's definitely old enough to understand the responsibility she's been given and the reward that comes from doing what she's been given. And she's also old enough to understand there's going to be consequence for not doing what she's been told to do. So here's what happens. Drew and Nicole tell her, here's the deal. You have to take the trash out from the trash can in the kitchen, in the pantry. You need to walk it outside to the can. Then on Tuesdays or Mondays or whenever their trash comes, you need to roll the can to the curb. Second thing you need to do is, they have a cat named Pete, right? So there's a litter box, and you need to empty the litter box. Number three is... dishes, we need you to, whatever dishes are in the sink, you need to rinse them off and then put them in the dishwasher. It'll be Emma's job to empty it, but you need to get them from the sink to the dishwasher. Those are your three responsibilities, okay? So I know that Maya's busy. She's got a lot of stuff going on at school. She's in cheer. She's got projects happening like every student does. There's things that she's going to, and Maya's life is very busy. And what starts happening around the Bartlett house is, all of a sudden, they're eating off paper plates because there's no clean dishes because they're just piling up and there's flies around because the food hasn't been scraped off or washed off. And then they can't even get into the pantry anymore because trash is overflowing in there. And they haven't been out, the can hasn't been to the curb in weeks, so the neighbors are complaining because of the stench in the backyard. And Pete now can't even go into his litter box. He's just going anywhere in the house that he wants to go because Maya hasn't been cleaning out the litter box. So here's what happens. Drew and Nicole pull Maya in for a little come to Jesus meeting and go, what is going on? You had three jobs that you do and there's reward for doing it. Why aren't you doing it? And Maya says, are you kidding me? I get up early in the morning. I have to get ready for school. Then I go to school. I'm at school all day. And as soon as school's over, I got to go to cheer practice. As soon as I get home from cheer practice, I got to work on a project that we have due at the end of the semester. And it's a huge project. And then I've got to do my regular homework. Then I have to get ready for bed and go to bed. And I got to get up and start and do all over that again. Now, that seems like a legitimate pushback on why she's not doing those chores. But Drew and Nicole say this. Listen, whatever you're doing, you need to work it around the three jobs that we've given you, because when you don't do that, you affect the quality of life for the whole family. It's not about you. It's about giving you responsibilities that contribute to the wholeness of this family. And when you fail to do that, you affect our quality of life. And I want you to hear this. When you fail to use the gifts that God has given you, you impact your own family, you impact the community that God's given you influence over, and you impact this faith community. You are starving us of the responsibilities that God has given us. And it stinks when we fail to do what God has told us to do. Listen to what it says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10. And I know all those things to be true about Maya. That just happened recently for her. That's not true. This is exactly why, while we were with you, we commanded you, anyone not willing to work shouldn't get to eat. You see, we're hearing that some folks in the community are out of step with our teaching. They're idle, they're not working, but they're really just busy doing nothing, and yet still they expect to be fed. If this is you or someone else in the community, we insist, we urge you in the Lord Jesus the Anointed that you go to work quietly, earn your keep, put food on your own table, and supply your own necessities. And to the rest of you, brothers and sisters, never grow tired of doing good. You see, what's happening here is what happens in lots and lots of church communities, is there are people who contribute nothing but still pull their chair up to the table and expect to be given the same share as everyone else who's been contributing. And the people who pull up and have done nothing to contribute to the feeding of the whole table, they're the first to complain about what's being fed. They're the first to complain about how it's being prepared and how it's being served. You'll know the laziest people at the table by the volume of their complaints and their negativity. Want to find a lazy person in the room? They're the ones whining. They're contributing. Because people that are working work quietly. They only care about what God's told them to do. God's told me to serve. I don't care if I get recognition for it. I don't care if I get praise for it. I don't care if anyone understands why I do this. I do it because God's told me to do it. God's gifted me to do it. And this contributes to the community. And when everybody's doing it, everybody gets to eat. And we don't have to resent the person pulling up alongside of us who shows up. You know, Caleb, my oldest son, moved yesterday. And I came at about 11:30 or noon, just about the time moving was over. And I said, man, where's the pizza? where's the soda? I like coming right at the end and getting the reward of working but not having done any of the work, right? Because nobody likes moving, but everybody likes the pizza afterwards. But nobody likes the guy that shows up at the end of the day and wants to get fed, who's done nothing to contribute, to earn the place at the table. God's given you an ability, and not only given you ability, but listen to me, given you a responsibility. You are committed to this community. If you elect to be here, you elect to serve here. Now, listen, if you're brand new to the church, you are our guest at the table. You are here to be served. We are here to serve you. We are here to love you. We're here to get you connected. But before too long, God's going to begin to scratch at your heart. He's going to begin to poke at you a little bit, and he's going to go, now I've given you ability, and I've given you talent, and I've given you giftings, and I've given you a calling now to serve this body. Because when a baby's born, we don't hand it a shovel and roll it out into the front yard, do we? And go, you got to help with the gardening. Weeds have been growing all summer. That's your job now. No, we nurture and grow up the baby, right? But then your child gets to a certain age and we say, when you play with toys, you clean up the toys. Everyone here has a role, and I'll tell you, your role is to not sit back and be an audience. That's not how the kingdom of God works. And so we need to reevaluate whether or not we qualify as lazy, because lazy is simply not doing what God's called us to do. Love each other like brothers and sisters. Romans 12, 10 through 11 says, give each other more honor than you want for yourselves. That means you have to think about others first. Do not be lazy, but work hard serving the Lord with all your heart. I love the way that starts, because it says love each other. Love is a motivator that moves tasks from a sacrifice and something we do begrudgingly to something we do willingly. Lisa, the other night, a couple nights ago, was really having trouble, kind of, you know, had what a lot of people have had recently with the sinus, a lot of pain in her sinus, and I thought I got on my phone and I read what is a good solution to that, so I went to Target and I ran in. I was going to buy her one of those personal like steam things, and then buy her the little Vicks pads that go in there. And I was really going to set her up. And I walked in and Target had one, but it was $150. And I said, I love her. I just don't love her $150 worth. So I thought I'll go to CVS and see if they have a cheaper version of that, because that's how much I love her. So I went to CVS and I got that. And I spent a pretty good amount of money. I wasn't $150, but I cared enough about her suffering that I just thought, it'll be gone in a few days like everybody else. I didn't want to see her suffer, and so I went and did that. I spent money and I spent time, and I went from store to store, and I bought her everything that I could that I thought would relieve her suffering. And you know what? I didn't need a back rub afterwards. I didn't need a high five. I didn't need a big thank you. I did it because of my love for her. I thought about her needs before my needs, right? That's not anything to applaud me for. That's how you should treat someone you love. And we're called brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. We're co-heirs with Jesus. You and I are obligated in love to serve one another. And when we're not, our laziness affects us. As a matter of fact, number three, we'll finish with this. I fight my selfishness by remembering that laziness is a virus that can contaminate the whole community. Proverbs 18:9 says it this way, a lazy person is as bad as someone who destroys things. A lazy person not doing what they're supposed to be doing is as bad as someone who's doing what they're not supposed to be doing, destroying things. Not only can laziness destroy things, it can destroy a whole community contagiously. That's why God warns us to get away from those who are infecting us, not just affecting us, but infecting us. Listen to what it says in 2 Thessalonians 3:6. For the sake of the church, then again, he calls us brothers and sisters. He says, for the sake of the church, brothers and sisters, we insist in the name of our Lord Jesus the Anointed that you withdraw from any brother or sister. These aren't unbelievers. These aren't people who don't know God. These aren't people who don't know Scripture. These are people who should know better, who have been given talents and abilities and been called by God to serve each other. And these are people who are neglecting that, who are lazy. We insist that in the name of our Lord Jesus the Anointed, you withdraw from any brother or sister who's out of order and unwilling to work, who's straying from the line of teaching we passed on to all of you. Doing what's best for you instead of what's best for the rest is infectious and it's destructive in God's community. I want you to hear that again. Thinking about you first, doing what's best for you instead of what's best for the rest. We've practiced that philosophy here in this church, because we'll have people that'll come to us and go, well, I want this. I think we should have this. And as leadership, we read the pulse of the congregation and go, this isn't a need. This isn't a need in our congregation. This is a need for you. So we do what's best for you. We don't disrupt the whole church to meet the need of one person. We go, this is a journey you should be on with God, and this is a thing that you should be asking God to meet a need in your life. You want us to have the whole church cater to your need. We do what's best for the rest. We do what feeds the health of the whole community. That's why we've had people who want to worship in a particular way, and that particular way happens to be a distraction to the rest of the community. And we go, that's amazing that you want to worship that way, but you need to worship that way in your car, in your home, in the street, in the store, but you're not going to do it in such a way where people's eyes are taken off of Jesus and they're put on you. We have to think about what's best for this entire community, and that's what God's called us to. And when you don't do that, guess what? You can't help but to be infectious. You're carrying around with you a dysfunction, if not a disease. That's what it says in Romans 16, 17. I'm pleading with you, brothers and sisters, to keep up your guard against anyone who's causing conflicts and enticing others with teaching contrary to what you've already learned. If there are people like that in your churches, stay away from them. There are very few times that you're going to see biblical permission to isolate and alienate people. It's actually the last resort. It's what happens after you have neglected God's voice in your life repeatedly. Can I tell you the ones who you need to get away from? They're the ones who are doing almost nothing and complaining about almost everything. They're the ones who will pull you aside. They'll never talk to me, but they'll talk to you about what's wrong with the church. They'll whine and complain about this decision. They'll whine and complain about why we're doing it this way. They'll whine and complain about this change and that change. They've never sat down with leadership and expressed any concerns. They want to just infect. That's what lazy people do. That's what infectious people do. I want to tell you, for your health and for the health of this church, you need to isolate yourself from people like that. You know somebody is lazy when they're out of step with where everyone else seems to be going. If the whole church is moving in a particular direction, there's an enthusiasm and there's an excitement and there's a vision directing us one way, and then you've got just kind of these stragglers. We're in the flow of the river, right? We're all on our rafts. We got our paddles out. We're all going one direction. And then you got people who are kind of standing on the shore and they're just really criticizing. They're just kind of observing and critiquing the way everyone else is doing it. Those are the people you want to sort of isolate yourself from. The Bible gives you permission to do that because, listen, you go, well, maybe I can be a good influence on them. I'm going to tell you this. Negativity is far more contagious than positivity is. Negativity seems to stick to you. So one of the things I've been doing is during our 40 days of fasting and prayer, I've been fasting Facebook. I have to go through my personal account to get on to and respond sometimes to the Summit Facebook page. And so when I get on there, I notice nothing's changed. In the days that I've been fasting, nobody got more positive. Nobody got happier. Nobody got funner. Nobody got more encouraging. They all just continued to be negative. And people are just vomiting all over. And they're doing their group therapy on Facebook. And they're just oozing out their negativity, and I just feel like I want to take a shower when I get off of Facebook. I notice how it sticks to me. It makes me feel dark inside. Negativity is so contagious that God says, in this circumstance, I'm encouraging you to actually break relationship rather than to try and influence them. Because I'm telling you this, someone whose heart is set on negativity is not open to your encouragement and message of positivity. Because when you push back on them and you go, no, that's not right, that's not right, they're going to ingest it and they're going to filter it and they're going to receive it through that negative filter, and they're going to twist it around, they're going to turn it back on you. And you're going to feel weird defending the community. You're going to feel weird being positive. You're going to go, well, yeah, maybe I'm wrong. That's how infectious negativity is. That's how infectious spiritual laziness is. And so one of the very few times God says, I want you to actually break relationship with them. And I want you to hear this. That's a problem that will solve itself. Because when this body decides to be healthy and this body decides to walk in its giftings, your unique God-given DNA-written abilities and gifts that God's given you to serve this community, and everyone else is acting in their God-given abilities to serve this community. We are serving each other's needs. There is satisfaction, there is contentment, there's fulfillment, there's wholeness when we all act in our gifts. Those who are out of step with that will go find them somewhere else to be negative, because they're gonna see that this is a healthy community that refuses to get infected. So I wanna give you permission today to start shutting down relationships. Now, I don't care how you do it. You may want to pull them aside, and when they start their negativity, you just go, beep, I'm going to call a technical foul. So I'm going to give you one chance to stop this junk, or you and I can't be together. I'm telling you, I want to grow in my relationship with God. I want to be lesser and less so that God can become greater and greater in my life, and I can't do it with you in my ear. I love you. But we got to stop spending time together, because you are like an infection that gets inside of me and makes me sick. Now, that's not going to be a popular message with someone who's sick, right? They are not going to receive that well. But you don't have to own their negative response to your appropriate message. I tell people all the time, you don't have to own other people's junk. You do the right thing, do it with the heart of love and the spirit of Christ. And then however they respond, listen, because sick people think sickly. So when you tell a sick person they're sick, they're gonna respond sickly. It's not a real word, it is for me, I love that word. Sick people respond sickly. That doesn't mean you stop being positive, that doesn't mean you stop being in right standing with God and speaking the things that God's put in your heart and the truth that God's given in his word. God's word commands, it insists that you break relationship. But before you do that, listen, before you do that, line your heart up with the truth that you may not be living in the fullness of the gifts and abilities that God has given you to serve this community. I want to tell you, we miss your gifts. We are less because of you not living in the fulfillment of your gifts. Don't do it because I'm guilting you into do it. Do it because that is the fullness of who you're supposed to be. That's because you live in the fullness of your identity in Christ. You will be happier than you've ever been when you are living in the fullness of your gifts. And you will serve the needs of others and help bring fullness and wholeness to their life, help bring health to their life so they can begin to live in the wholeness of their gifts and their calling. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me, and we're gonna give you just a moment to respond to him in whatever way he's been speaking to your heart. Maybe you'd say, yeah, you know what, quite honestly, with the definition of not living in my gifts, not exercising the fullness of my gifts, if that's laziness, then I would have to say then I'm guilty of laziness. And truthfully, I look at my life and I say, I'm a busy, busy person, so my flesh isn't willing to accept the label of laziness, but just because I'm busy doesn't mean I'm busy doing the right things, the things God's called me to do. And even if I am I letting people into my life that are counteracting that are infecting me with negativity, lazy-minded people, lazy spiritual people, people that don't want to be a part of what God's doing, who just want to stand on the sidelines critiquing and criticizing? I don't want to do it. I don't want to be around them. I want the boldness and the courage to end those relationships, to alienate those people from my life, because I want to stay healthy and I want to stay whole and I want to live in my calling. If that's any of the things that God has been saying to you, nobody's looking around, but would you just stick your hand up and go, yeah, that's me this morning. Yeah, tons and tons of us. Thank you. Thanks. God, this is big. This is beyond us, really. It's not within our ability to rationalize this through our flesh. We don't believe because we're busy that we can be lazy. We're hard workers. I think almost everyone in here fits that category. Whatever we're doing, it feels like we're doing it to the point of exhaustion, So we don't own the identity of laziness. Well, the question we should be asking ourselves, the question, God, you need to make part without condemnation, without guilt, but with conviction, that we just cannot forget Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, over and over. Next 30 days, God, we just have to keep answering the question in our lives, what am I doing to live in the fullness of my gifts and ability that God's given me? Do I even know what those are? Have I asked God to reveal those to me? What comes naturally to me and what needs to be developed in me? And am I doing those things, and am I doing them for the right reason? Not for my satisfaction or gratification, but to serve the body, to serve this community of faith, to serve this church that God's put me. I don't want to be the one pulling up a chair to the table each weekend, small groups, worship nights. I don't want to be coming and asking and not contributing. So am I lazy, God? Am I living in the fullness? And are there relationships I need to break? God, help us with each one of those pivotal. They're probably not going to be one decision one day. It's going to be a series of decisions every day. So help us. We cry out to you, God. We can't do it alone. But when we do this, the health of this church, the wholeness of this church, the force of this church will exponentially expand. God, we thank you now for that, believing it's your will, giving you thanks for everything that's going to be done because of the decisions we make today. In Jesus' name, amen.